Welcome to Ink Pulp Audio, everybody. Everybody. So today we're going to, I'm going to put out the re-recorded Robbie Rodriguez interview. I'm feeling uncertain about myself, people. In front of this mic, that's what my ahs are about. I'm feeling good, though. You see that? God damn it.
The fuck's the matter with you?
Let's start over again. Welcome to Ink Pulp Audio. Today, Robbie Rodriguez is on. Now, if you listen a lot, you probably remember when a Robbie Rodriguez interview was supposed to come out, and it came out for a short period of time before I pulled it. And then I recorded a apology and such explanation of sorts. The bottom line is, I don't want to put anything out that hurts anybody, and I think Robbie was just in a bad place at the time. And when we recorded this, he seemed to be in a better place. So we'll finally get to release one of these today. See, I made it that far, all the way through that before. So also, if you listen a lot, you've heard me complain. I know. But hey, some people do their thing. This is my thing. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very good. I did it again. God damn it. I'm feeling good. Very good. I realize I've been battling a war for quite some time. And I've spoken about it at length here. And I realize I'm just fighting myself.
A revelation, people.
I'm just fighting myself. See, you thought I was gonna go there, but I didn't. I caught myself. Yeah, I just fighting a war with myself. That's what I've become very good at it. I'm a formidable opponent of my own. And I'm done with it. It's amazing to me to see these walls we can construct around us. We can build our own prisons and keep ourselves captive within them, all based on ideologies, ideas, insecurities, anxieties, fears, worry. And I've been doing a lot of work on myself, and I'm done with it. I mean, it's hard to say somebody's completely done with it with that sort of, with anything. I don't know. I mean, I'm human. I'm going to have moments. But I'm feeling good now. And my eyes are open. And I've put down my sword and realized there's no one there. Because I'm smart. All right, let's just get into this. There's not much more else to say. So I guess if I'm going to say, I would like to ask everyone, if you haven't gone on to iTunes to rate stuff, please do. Things are going really well now that I'm back to once a month. And I'm staying on top of these really well. It's much easier for me. And the interviews are going much better. Much, much better. I think that's probably just experience of doing them. All right, that's that. I really have nothing else to say to you people. So let's just get into this. So you're on these e-cigarettes now?
at least for right now. I can't blaze up in your room.
Right. Oh, so you have cigarettes for outside and e-cigarettes for inside?
Yeah, I got my con cigarette.
Hold it. So you can smoke on the floor. Yeah.
Well, it just goes in my hair too now. Is it a little close? Hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Are we going? Are we recording?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Shit.
It's all good. Hmm. You want it to match your hair? So
yeah. I mean, everything's going digital now.
How many colors have you gone through in the past year?
Oh, shit. I got to say, at least, I think five now.
How are you doing it yourself?
Oh, no, my buddy's a stylist.
Okay.
And she normally just does like a, she's pretty high-end stylist, and she just, she never gets to play with hair, so I just go to her studio and just sit there for free, and she's like, oh, just and let her do what the hell she wants with it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's become like a nice gimmick now.
Sure. That sounds good. Hold on one sec. I want to take a little picture of this. Got to promote this shit. Yeah. Did you listen to WTF, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear Obama's going
to be? Yeah, I told Jason that.
It's fucking insane.
No, James Harry, he'll sleep on the couch and like he'll nodding in and out.
Oh, James is over there?
Yeah. He's in my room and I doing stuff right now.
Uh-huh.
But he's like, he was going nodding in and out of a nap. He's like, he woke up like, was I dreaming that fucking Obama's going to be on my marriage?
Dude, I think that's fucking amazing. I think that's.
I mean,
he's going.
That's also like the second. He also made the second best. That's my first favorite line of the weekend.
Who did?
James Heron.
What was this?
It was like we went out for breakfast. He turned to Jason like, "How do we eat biscuits again?"
When did he get in yesterday too?
He got in today.
Oh, okay, just early.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. All right, so where do you want to start today, Robbie?
Let's see. You know what? Let's just start with where we are right now with Spider-Gwen.
All right. Yeah. What's going on there? I mean, you guys, like I said earlier, that's a huge, huge hit.
Yeah, it's pretty big, dude. It's like, I mean, I'm still wrapping my head around it, man. Like,
yeah.
Especially the weird like comic fame behind it. It was really hard to adjust to the first few months.
Where do you put yourself before Spider-Gwen came out? Like, how did you feel about your career before that book hit?
You know, I liked the little being on the fringes. Like, I like, you know, like being, you know, I guess I would have been like categorized as that artist type guy for a while.
Yeah.
And that was fine. I was making decent money. I was making, you know, 30 grand.
Were you happy being that? Or did you feel like you needed more recognition?
I was just happy doing it. I was like, doing my own thing for a bit too, and which is nice. I mean,
right. Frankie got your gun.
Frankie get your gun. I mean, it was nice doing that. And now it's like, for a while, like it got so blown up, you know, I haven't worked on Frankie for a bit, and now I'm slowly chunking back at it again.
What happens when something hits that big? How does it change for everything for you?
I think attention wise is weird. I mean, I'm used to getting attention on my own, just being an asshole. Just like at the, or like even online, just being a loudmouth asshole too. But like seeing with the notoriety with Spider-Gwen, I knew how fucking blown up it actually gets now.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as big as it gets. That book, what did number one do?
We did about 300,000.
And but there was a one shot before that.
Yeah, we did. I think that was like, I want to say 60,000, but it's got reprinted like five times now.
Wow. And then what did number two do?
We're at 100K for like the last four.
For the last four?
Yeah.
So what does Marvel do anything different when that happens? Do they like,
you know what? To their benefit, they usually like, you would think like a company would like, oh, we're going to like control it in general.
Yeah.
Now, they're just leaving us to our. But they don't want to rock the boat with this thing right now.
Right. No, I get that. But do they start saying to you, like, all right, this thing is huge. We need to watch how you act online? Or
there's a little bit of that, but they said it through Jason in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. He became the messenger behind that. And, which I understand that. I know now I had to, like, even though, like, you know, I'm just a weird punk kid in general at heart. And now, you know, like, you know, I got a, you know, I got a marriage with Rico and Jason now. So, you know, I got to watch, I got to watch it, you know, not to ruin the marriage.
Right. You're responsible for other people.
It's like, I already got one broken marriage already. I don't want to do another one.
Right. So how long ago was that divorce now?
Oh, shoot. I'd say we separated probably about 2 years ago now.
Oh, shit. How's your cat?
Oh, he's doing great now. Like, that was a weird thing about, that's a good jumping on point. It was a weird, surreal thing. Like, cause people ask me, like, oh, it must be amazing the hell Spider-Man is doing and whatnot. And it was literally like the worst couple months for the longest time doing that. And I couldn't really enjoy it at all. That's why I was so miserable, drinking a lot more.
And why?
Oh, because like as soon as personal life was very up to really into shits at that point.
This was post divorce or during divorce?
It was post divorce in general. And then right when this game hit my cat Sean, who I raised, like found him, like abandoned my mom, bottle fed him, and he's like 10 now. But he, you know, he was diagnosed with small cell lymphoma. So like fuck, all this thing happened. Like, you know, it's like life of jail. Like you have this big fucking thing happen, and fucking like the one thing that you love, like it's gonna die soon.
Right. Yeah. So that hit when Spider-Gwen was taking off.
Yeah, and it was soon, like, you know, taking him to the vet and like going to like emergency room hospitals, like visits, but I'm still cranking away on Spider-Gwen at the same time, just waiting.
In the office.
Like, not in the office, it's like at the waiting room.
At the waiting room.
Just cranking it out right there. You know, and I go to my, because thankfully, like, me and my ex were on friendly terms, so.
No, that's good.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like we didn't hate each other type thing when we separated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I go to her, like every morning I go to her place to watch while she's at work. And watch the cat, and then she kind of takes night shift while I stay up all night till like 4 o'clock in the morning, and just work on Spider-Gwen and then sleep for a couple hours and then do the routine over and over
again.
But
you have a separate place.
Yeah.
Okay. So the cat lives with your ex, and you go spend every day.
Yeah, with the cat.
With Sean.
Yeah. That's the benefit with this job, you know. You know, as much as we bitch about the grind and the pay that's going online right now while we record this.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, that's the beneficial part of working in this industry. I get to spend, like, the last, hopefully, not at least 1 year, but at least hopefully, like, the more 2 or 3 years with my cat at home because of this job. I mean, it's amazing. If I worked like a retail job, there's no way I could do it.
Yeah. He'd be home alone. But something happened yesterday with Sean?
Oh, it happened like...
Because you almost didn't make it to the show.
Yeah, I didn't make it, yeah. Happened this current last week because I was, just came home from New York. Still like recovering from the show. Got a sinus infection. And then he would just stop eating. And
he got a sinus infection?
No, I got a sinus infection.
Okay,
I got a sinus infection on top of that. No. No, he has this thing where like he gets very affectionate, and that's when like you know there's something wrong with him. Like he's really hurting or something.
Right.
And then he just stopped eating. So we had to like
jump everything,
like take no vets, everything cleared out. We eventually like dealt him up with B12. They just say he was like anemic from that.
Mm-hmm.
And put him back on anti-nausea medicine, and he started picking up eating now. So.
What was he nauseous from?
Oh, he just does that. He just gets that from the chemo.
Oh, he's still going. How long has he been going through chemo?
He's been doing it since, I want to say, when officially got diagnosed, probably around New Year's. New Year's Day. Yeah.
Wow.
All the shit went down Christmas. Like, he just like, before I actually knew what was wrong with him.
Yeah.
It was like December's like a shit month. We're like trying to figure out what's wrong until he got finally diagnosed around on Christmas Day.
So how often does he go to chemo?
We do at the house.
I
grab him and like pop a chemo pill right into his mouth.
Oh, it's a pill.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's kind of similar to like what people with arthritis will take.
Sure.
Yeah.
And is that just something he always
He's just always
going to
be on that. That and steroids.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
Is it helping?
It's helping him. It's having like it's gonna be a case where he's like he's gonna die. I've accepted that. I went to the four stages that when he diagnosed like into July or in January. So I'm accepting he's gonna die, but if he's gonna live right now, he's gonna be very comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a big thing. He's gonna be very comfortable as he goes.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So he's comfortable.
Yeah.
How long do they predict he has?
We got estimates anywhere from a year to we're with his doctor's and her cat's on the same thing. She's on like year four now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's hope.
Yeah.
And how old? You said he's 10?
Yeah.
All right. So 14's a good life.
Yeah, it's a pretty good life for him.
Yeah. We've had three cats pass. One was 14, one was 11, and one was 13.
Yeah. And it's hard, too. It's like, you know, I mean, it's my first pet ever for that.
Oh, that's your first pet?
Yeah. I never had pets growing up. My parents hated it.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk to me about growing up. You have some interesting childhood stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like neighborhood I grew up in, like, I still Jason for the longest time. Because he was like, hey, you going to watch The Wire? It's like, dude, I grew up in a neighborhood. Why do I want to watch a TV show based on that?
But,
you know,
but
all my best friends, their dads were like crack dealers.
Right,
like,
but not in Baltimore.
No, in Waco, Texas.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, all my best friends' dads were like involved in the drug trade somehow.
Oh, wow.
Within there, or like in the...
Like with the Mexican cartel and stuff?
Oh, no, just...
just local?
Just local drug dealing. You know, they would like... slowly get supplies and whatnot, and like I actually taught like my buddy Andrew. I taught his dad how to do books because he kept like, oh man, these guys are cutting me up. It's like, dude, just write down what you gave to them, and then you can keep track of this.
So, what is your parents were together?
Oh, they're still together. They're just very bitterly together.
What did they do? What was their profession?
The profession? Oh, they're just blue-collar guys. They're like, mother just works retail. She worked factory jobs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
My dad used to paint, worked for Chrysler, painting the, painting planes and whatnot.
Okay.
But then,
Are they both from Texas?
No, they're both from, Monterrey.
Monterrey.
Yeah, Mexico.
Okay.
You know, and then, My dad neglected his health, even though telling him, hey, you should get checked out for diabetes, and then his diabetes just wiped him out and made him disabled from working.
Oh,
now
really?
He's just a bitter, cranky man living in my mom's house.
So he can't work.
Yeah.
Does he collect disability?
He does collect disability.
What? How'd they get into the States?
I think my dad's parents moved here probably about, I want to say, 1955.
Uh-huh.
And... my mother, I think they moved over here probably around, I want to say 1973, I think. Like, okay. Mother's, I don't know too much about my dad's family because I just kind of cut them off in general because they're really, a lot of them were scumbags in general.
Uh-huh.
My mother's father was working construction, so he could just go back and forth, and he was able to get, like, alien status from there. And
okay.
They were able to, like, come to the States from that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Like working visas type thing. So when did comics come into your life?
Honestly, they've been forever in my life. Like I said, my dad was a collector.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I remember when comics used to come out on Fridays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't even remember that.
Yeah. That's how long ago we did that. And, I've always been in, intrigued by it. I mean, I used to read the EC stuff.
Yeah.
Those are always like my favorites, or like the creepy stuff.
Yeah, that's my favorite stuff too.
But I was never like big into superhero stuff because like it was just, I used to ask my dad, same thing I do with Latour when he brings up a storyline. And like, this, like what is convoluted storylines going on? What's going on with this? I asked my dad, who's this guy? What's his deal? Like,
so this is something you and your dad bonded over growing up?
Well, not bonded. I mean, it's one of those like, it was just always around type thing.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like, oh, you know, we didn't really bond over much. We never talked and whatnot. It was like, it was very emotionally abusive. So like, I just kind of.
He was emotionally abusive?
Yeah, he was.
To you?
To all my siblings, me and my siblings.
Well, like, what about your mom?
Huh?
What about mom?
Yeah, she is too, but she's like, she has that weird Catholic guilt where she won't leave him.
Right.
Yeah.
How many siblings do you have?
I have an older sister and a younger sister and a brother, younger brother.
Are they all in Texas still?
Yeah. Slowly, they finally moved it out. My dad's in Milton Beach, drove out my older sister back when she was like 23.
Uh-huh.
So I just stuck with... So it was just me and my younger sister just watching over her until my younger brother came along type thing.
How?
And now... But they were stuck in the house for the longest time, but now younger sister finally got married. She's in Virginia now.
Okay.
She has a life now, which is great.
Okay.
I thought she was going to be like... you know, just a townie in Waco. It's like, don't do that. And like, she's finally getting the fuck out of town.
A Waco townie.
Yeah.
And then what's your little brother do now?
He's in school right now.
Like high school?
I think he's going to tech school right now.
Okay.
He wants to do like video game soundtracks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's getting into that right now. He asked me questions about that. I was like, dude, I'm barely figuring out comics. You don't even want to know that field.
So, when did you always just want to draw the comics? Was that always there?
Oh, you know, I always want to be like a storyteller somehow. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Like, whether it be like, you know, doing comics or doing a film or TV show or writing or like, well, not writing because I'm dyslexic. So it took a long time for that. But some type of storytelling, you know, I used to do like, I remember when I was a kid, I used to like get like a, you know, VHS camcorder, just make little mini movies for like my action figures and like with like homemade like a pyrotechnics, how I like break out of fireworks and whatnot.
So you said you have dyslexia?
Yeah, I have a dyslexia with it.
And when did, how old were you when you figured that out?
Officially diagnosed, it was like when I took a year like at a technical school, probably around 22.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your dyslexia? Like, how does it affect you?
It's just pretty much like I'm constantly like all the words like are backwards in my head when I read it, uh-huh. And so it constantly takes me like several times to read a book.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why it like book reading was like, even though I loved it, it was a big turnoff. It's like a huge challenge for me.
Sure.
Yeah, but thank God for like audio tapes.
Right. Yeah. Right. So does it give you problems with scripts when you get them?
You know what? No, because like thankfully, like, you know, with the Mac, I can just, like, these for a little bit, but, like, I just, like, learn little tricks for myself to go very, very slowly and read it.
Okay.
And then, but also, when I'm home on my Mac, I just put the Mac's, have the computer read it to me.
Oh.
You know, while I walk around and think about it in general, which is a big benefit for me.
How do you get it to read it to you?
Oh, you just say, like, just highlight and it says, like, speak it or
in
a Mac.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yes, you can do that for like years.
Oh.
I remember like the Mac 2 did it. I used to just make up shit on the fucking computer and like have the thing talk it.
That's awesome. Does it affect your artwork at all?
No, that's one thing. It's like I'm far visual when it comes to like even my gesturing, I'm more visual. Like, my ex used to hate it. I'm like, oh, so yeah, you want to go up? No one see that, but I'm like pointing somewhere, like
right,
or doing that, you know. Instead of me saying, "Hey, look at that chair," I'm like, and point like that.
But it just when you're like dyslexia doesn't affect what you see when you're drawing.
Oh it's no, because I already have the. I listen to a scenario and actually just and it's like I have a picture in my head. Like I see like a movie. I see this. I see the sequence. Like all right, this is the cut I'm going to do. And it's going to cut I'm going to do, and this I'm going to lay it out in general with it.
Uh huh.
And just to get that beat going. I mean, the best part about it, I'm constantly reading the script, so I'm constantly just like, when Jason sends me a script, I'm interpreting these characters, and like, all right, this is what the motivation is going for, this is what they want, and this is how I can sell this without Jason saying it, type thing. So Jason can just take that word balloon out if he needs to, type thing, when he's showing it, type thing.
That's good. All right, so we got off track. So Spider-Gwen came in and just kind of blew up, but you're going through a hard time, and that's, when we were in Seattle... Was that like towards the end of like? Are you feeling better now?
You know, I'm leveled. Like, you know, we talked before. Like, I battle my depression quite a bit. You know, and like, I get very deep levels of it. Like, yeah. That was like Seattle event. I was a very deep level with it, and just trying to mask it and just kind of like, all right.
So do you
especially when that was like the first show I was at? You know, doing Spider-Gwen shit. Hit, so like,
right.
You know, people's read me online. They like. You know, they see the personality online type thing. So they're up. I gotta be up. So like,
so do you feel a lot of pressure at shows because of the success of Spider-Gwen? Like, is it affect you negatively having that level of success?
You know, I can't say yes or no on that right now. I'm still adjusting to it right now. I mean, it's still a transition.
But it's something you have to adjust to.
Yeah, you know, especially now. You know, where Jason has. Using Jason's example, he's went from, because he's had a pretty big rise
the
last few years.
For
as long as I've known him, too.
Yeah.
But he had that slow transition from, like, doing Expatriate, doing those small gigs in here and there, doing X-Men, you know, Southern Bastards blew up, and then Spider-Gwen blew up.
Yeah.
Me, it was kind of like, I did Freaky Get Your Gun, which, you know, like, made decent, you know, I sold 4,000 copies, but, like, it was just to the Fringe fans or just to other creators, you know, doing FPP, which didn't do anything. And then boom, right up to like Spider-Gwen all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a faster rise. And it's something. So how did that? How does that affect you? Like, what's going on with the depression when I saw you in Seattle?
I mean, like, you know, it just still affects me. Like, there are times, like, they just, like, they're, even though I love doing the craft. Uh-huh. That's one thing different to tell people. Like, people ask me, like, oh, do you read anything? So I don't read many comics at all, really. I just read, like, Southern Bastards when Jason sends me a PDF. Uh-huh. I think I read a 3-issue of Saga that I found a bar like one day. But that's about it, you know, because I'm not really like the fan of the works. I'm like a fan of the medium. I love doing the medium. I love the storytelling.
Sure.
I love the medium of it. And but like there are moments where like my depression gets so bad where like there's no reason why I'm depressed, but I feel so down where I can't even get up.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's depression. It's not like there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
There's stuff going on in your head that there's chemical stuff going on, yeah. Psychological stuff. It's not like, I mean, yeah. True depression isn't, you know, if a close relative dies, you go through a grieving period, but you don't go through a depression, yeah. Like clinical depression. They're very different things.
Yeah. Yeah, and this thing, like, yeah, I get so down, like, I'm still, like, even, like, I just want to, you know, I just want to lay in bed and just, like, sleep all day and cut the world off. I still got to force myself to, like, I got to still go make the bread. Like,
sure. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, I told you the story before, like, I'm crawling. Literally, there's, like, a day where I'm crawling out of bed just to get to my desk to get going.
How long have you been wrestling with this?
I got to say, initially when I got diagnosed with it, it was probably around 14, 13.
Okay.
So it's been a while. I mean, I tried medication when I was younger, and
yeah, it's hard.
It was not for me in general. I mean, you know, I don't mind it because I like getting a little manic. I'll get like little manic stages in general with it, which is great. That's what I think. That's when, especially when the cons, like, all right, that's fucking awesome. Like, I'm just on.
You get
like,
high.
I can like be that personality people want type thing with it, and or even the personality I want to be in general with
it.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what?
So does that not feel like it's truly you? Don't worry about it. When you have to like be up at a con, do you feel like you're putting on a show?
Oh no, it's usually pretty me. But like, you know, me is like that, you know, guy at the bar type thing. Like the weirdest thing too is like with the weird quasi comic celebrity thing is that you know. Seeing people freak out about me is the weirdest thing. When I'm like, I literally was like in New York, people are like shaking, seeing me. I'm like, dude, I'm just like you. Like, I eat, sleep, I take a shit. In fact, I'm holding a shit right now. But you know, it does like, it really does like, it does calm me down. Depression, like, all right, it's fine. You know, it's and like these people are just as they're up. So like, even though like it gives me like a little balance in my, I guess chemically gives me like a nice balance when my shows want it just to be me type thing with it.
What how do you deal with the depression? Like it sounds like you've got some really dark shit that comes up, and then what are you doing to deal with it?
You know what? I just
do you just
keeping busy constantly just helps it.
Do you feel like that's just putting it on pause or it helps it?
It does help me. Just like. I tell people all the time, like, you know, if my ex-wife knows this, like when I have no work, something like that.
Yeah.
It's a very dangerous period because it was like with no work, I get very bored.
Yeah.
And then when I found out nothing to relieve that boredom, that depression comes in again. And
okay.
Like, I could do something really terrible, like just randomly just get into a fight. Just like, all right, let's do something right now. You know?
Well, so you get the destructive behavior comes.
Yeah. Yeah. In? It does come with it.
So what sort of destructive behavior?
Oh, usually just like just a little thing, like just getting to fights at bars type thing. And like just for the minimalistic bullshit in general. Like there's no reason why I should get a fight. It's like the dumbest goddamn thing in the world.
Does depression lead to you drinking?
You know what? It did for a while. There was like a heavy time where it was just doing that to cope with it.
Yeah. You're like self-medicating?
Just self-medicating with it. You know, now it's like, I'm pretty relaxed right now. And that was the weird alcohol. I say, I can control it. What now? What that? But like, you know, like usually people see me, they see me draw at the bar on my for my Instagram and whatnot.
Right, right.
And a lot of times, you know, it's more constructive because I'm still there working in general. But I like, instead of me sitting in the studio, where like I can start, I'll start thinking about these weird thoughts in my head type thing. I'm at a bar where there's like constant stimulation. Where like hearing the conversation, this thing,
and sure,
exorbitant. Like it kind of helps. Like
it puts you in the world.
It puts me in the world type thing. Whether it's like, you know, it's not just, you know, other people are dealing with this shit too in general.
Right.
It's not just me stuck in a goddamn room,
yeah,
dealing with your bullshit. Well, you know, but which I think a lot of like creators get that because they're very isolated. It's a very isolated job.
Is it totally? Yeah. I mean, you crawl into a cave and disappear for a while.
Yeah. See, I can't do that. Like, I get very antsy when like just sitting alone in silence. So, and even like music, and like unless I get in like a real like groove doing stuff, I need that noise. That's why I do go to bars. That's why I do go to coffee shops and whatnot.
Yeah, I can't do music when I work. Can't do it. That's what got me into podcasting.
Yeah.
Was listening to
conversation in general?
Yeah, because I found I could listen to like TV shows I was familiar with, like The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Since I'd already watched it all, I could listen to it. But after the like 20th time through the entire series, I'm just sitting there knowing every line.
Mm-hmm.
So it lost the magic of like keeping my mind occupied. And I did it with The Wire, I did it with The Sopranos and a few other shows. And then I discovered podcasting and I was like, this is perfect because they can go on for a while and they're just people talking and it's always something new.
Yeah.
And it's mostly stuff, something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got really into podcasts for a while too. And I still do. I still have podcasting constantly on my iPhone.
What do you like to listen to?
Was it like Yeah Dude? It's one of my favorite ones.
What's that?
It's what's the name? It's two guys in LA. Like one of those, I forgot whose son it is, but like it's two guys. They're pretty much like constantly just reading like articles they find online and whatnot, and like picking up on the hypocrisy of this bullshit in general, and just like poking fun of it in general.
Okay, it sounds familiar.
Yeah,
I think I've heard of it. What else do you listen to?
You know, the Merid one and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to listen to. But like early on, it was like a Comedy Bang Bang. We used to be like it used to be like a Comedy Death Ray because they used to play.
Right, I remember that.
When I used to live in LA, they used to play it on a radio station called Indie 103.
Uh-huh.
And like I was just loved the show in general. So like once I got into podcasting, I started listening to that more and more and more from there. So like I started listening to a lot of the Earwolf stuff.
Okay.
In general, there's a ton of them I do.
Okay.
And a lot of them like science ones. A lot of them are like. Like the business, learning like the, it goes like, it's like an insight, like a Hollywood trade thing in general.
Uh-huh.
There's also Joe Scalante from The Vandals. He does a podcast called Barely Legal.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically him just breaking down the legal structure of working in entertainment because he's an entertainment lawyer.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, he's an entertainment lawyer on the side. So.
Oh, cool.
So I listen to stuff like that.
Do you listen to Henry Rollins' podcast?
Huh? Occasionally. I listened to like a couple episodes so far.
Yeah. I'm enjoying that one. That one's kind of new. So where do you go from here, Robbie? I mean, you're on a book that is just such an amazing success, but one that's so big, it's just rare.
You know, it's weird. Like it's rare. Like you know, it is. Like we caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
In this fucking book.
Well, that's not to take away from anything you've done on the book.
Oh no, I mean it's become us. I mean, you know, we're talking before like. You know, people, you know, I talked to you before in Seattle, like, you know, my body's breaking down in general.
All right.
You know, that's also helps. That also, like, added to depression, too.
Of course. So talk about your body breaking down.
Oh, yeah, because people don't know. People always ask me, like, why are there no Spider-Gwen originals?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not, I don't take commissions anymore and whatnot? It's because my eyes are breaking. I have, like, a condition called KC,
mm-hmm.
where my corneas thinning out, and it became very difficult for me to ink on paper for a while, mm-hmm. for the longest time. The little tricks I'm doing, like one thing about it, like I do go back. I recently went back to paper, but to change my style
mm-hmm.
and adjust it a bit. If I do something on paper again,
what are you doing on paper?
You know, just there's a lot of like open lines now. It's uh-huh. not so much blacks anymore.
Uh huh.
I guess the best comparison to do is like it's very Robert Valley now.
Okay.
Very like that loose lines of Sienkiewicz that he does.
Uh huh.
But it's just me just teaching myself a new skill. If I do go back to paper type thing, you'll see a completely different style.
So how? But your eyes don't get in the way of that one.
You know, it's so janky as it is, just doing that, you know, it actually helps it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do nerves play a role in having to do commissions or anything?
No, it does too. Yeah, that's another thing. I have nerve damage now based on the because I had a I keep thinking carpal tunnel, carbon monoxide poisoning from an incident in Texas when I was visiting my family. So
yeah, tell me about that.
I was telling like a buddy of mine about it and her friend. It's a joke now with my ex-wife. Every time I go visit my mother, like that Waco's trying to kill you and keep you stuck in that town. one time, first time, it was like I passed out from exhaustion at a friend's bar. Literally, it was exhaustion because I was thinking, I forgot what I was doing at the time. I was heavy into FBP, so I was like trying to get shit done. I was doing like several issues at a time, and I went to go see buddies at a bar, and they were telling me telling them bye. And next thing I realized, I'm waking up on the floor, looking at the roof, like what the fuck happened? My buddy Ryan kept telling me, who's playing here tonight to see Monsters, and he's a guitarist for the Mary Janes.
Okay.
He was telling me, yeah, dude, you literally went to grab for the door, and it looked like the Invisible Man just knocked you out because you instead of just falling like a tree, you just collapsed into a lump of flesh.
What? Why'd you collapse from exhaustion?
Exhaustion. It was just exhaustion.
But what's the carbon monoxide
story? Oh, the carbon monoxide. No, that's the second one. My parents. It was like a middle. It was like in December when Texas gets really cold.
Uh-huh.
In winter, my parents are too lazy to actually get a professional to install their furnace.
Uh-huh.
Into the house, so they had my cousin do it.
Oh boy!
And he bent the flick on there. So carbon monoxide gas was leaking in there, and I was sleeping right in front of it. And I woke up, in sweats and, shaking. My heart was just pounding. I was like, holy shit, I'm having a heart attack. What's going on?
How old were you?
Huh? This was shit. This was probably, fuck. I want to say about a year ago.
Oh, really?
It was pretty recently. Year and some change ago.
So what'd you do?
Huh? I did, I was having, I was shaking. I called my ex-wife, oh, what do we do this? Call the fire department or something. So I called the fire department. They put the... I called 911. It's what's going on? Film this, shaking, blah, blah. It's literally the 911 operator is get everyone out of the house right now. Because it sounded like there might be a leak somewhere.
Okay.
Fire department came, and ambulance came, and then checked the house. The entire thing was filled.
Really?
The living room. They feel everyone else was separating the house, pretty spread out, so... They didn't get much of it, but I got the brunt of all that carbon monoxide. So
did you end up in the ER?
Yeah, I was for a full 12 hours just stuck on oxygen just to clear me out.
For 12 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
and you have damage from
that? They're nerve damage for a while from that. Okay, so you can see I'll get little shakes.
Uh-huh.
In the hands. So
does that affect your drawing?
It does. I'm going very slow on a Cintiq. You can see it very well. That's why you see, with Spider-Gwen, you see those quick cuts in here and there because I got to, cut that out minimally instead of me just being very delicate about it. Okay. So, I had to find little tricks
It seems like
not affect my work.
You're always looking for things to help you adapt to whatever's going on with you.
That's what I do, dude. This problem comes on, I got to figure out a way to adapt it in general.
Yeah, well, that's smart. We have one of our cats. It's actually been a good life lesson. When our last cat passed away, it was near the holidays, and we promised the kids for the holidays we'd get a new kitten. So we went, and we were looking at pet adoption rescue. And we were all looking, and they said, we have a special needs cat over here. It was this tiny little kitten with one eye, and the other eye was 80% scarred over, it could barely see.
Yeah.
My kids just felt a need to bring that one home, and we all did.
Yeah.
So we brought the kitten home and literally took the kitten maybe 2 weeks until She has no fear of anything, and you would never know she can't see. She gets around, jumps up, does everything, wrestles with the cat three times her size all day. Has no idea she can't see. She's just adapted to this is how her life is and is fine with it.
Yeah.
And doesn't spend time upset about it. And it's been an interesting life lesson.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it has been. That's what I was saying before, like Seattle, like, you know, and, you know, I never want to be like the draft man in general because, you know, honestly, like, the sad story, like, no publisher gives two shits about if you're like the best draftman ever. But like I told you before, like, I don't like, it's not about impressing people, it's about moving people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I taught myself now with the eye damage, I mean, you know, with my eyes going bad, with the nerve damage and things. Like, you know what? I'm not going to be the best guy to like impress kid on the street, like, oh, you're the best guy like drawing comics right now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be the loudest guy on that page, you know.
Right.
He's like, you know, if you know, equivalent, like, you know, we always put the analogy like with Jason Rico and I, you know, they were, you know, we are the band. Like,
right.
We are the band to make this book.
Sure.
You know, and occasionally when I take lead, I'm going to be the biggest fucking front man in comics, like, on that page.
So, how do you do that?
Huh? Well, like, the thing is, I think that's what helped me quite a bit more is like, you know, being at shows now because literally, like, I started doing, like, this big tour of hitting shows, like, within the last month or so because I just want to see what the actual reaction is. And, like, people react to the voice of that book in general. Because I'm, like, big fan, like, of the girl riot scene, like, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I used to love all those fucking bands in general, like, you know, Bikini Kill, like, Huggy Bear and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to, like, and I just want to put that on that page and dealing with Spider-Gwen, and like I think that's what really connected with people. Like, there's a generation that have never heard that voice before, but they're really
so
connected.
So is that your influence on the book?
Oh yeah, that is my influence with it.
The rock, the like,
well, you know, Jason said it was gonna be in a band in general.
Uh-huh.
But you know, once he said that, that has got the engines going.
But do you think Jason said that knowing you were drawing it?
Well, yeah, Jason knew I was gonna be into it.
Right.
He knew that was like, that's gonna kickstart me in general.
He was writing towards your interests and your strengths. Mm-hmm.
And Jason wanted to do that too, because, like, you know, it helps him, like, I think it really helps him, like, you know, figure out, like, you know, female characters who are just, they're not based on their gender. They're just characters. They just have to be in a band and whatnot.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
Sure, sure.
You know, it has that, it's, you know, it's that artist in him to place that into the characters themselves and write them that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We were getting to this earlier. I want to get back to it. So you've got this huge success right now. Where do you go from here?
Honestly, right now I'm figuring that out as we go. Probably gonna do, we got like a list, like a 2 or 3 year run of Spider-Gwen that Jason wants to do, and I'm probably gonna tag along with it.
So you just ride the train while it's going.
Well, ride the train while it's going, but you know, I also know, I also know like retirement's coming up pretty soon for me too.
Because of your eyes?
Yeah, because my body's gonna break down. I'm not gonna last till like 40 doing this. I'm lucky I last till 30 doing this.
Dude, my career didn't get started till I was in my 40s.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
33.
Okay.
So you know, it's a good hide like to like ride for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And you know, and then kind of settle down, like, you know, I'm going back to Frankie again. I'm going to start doing that more and more. And then, like, I got other, you know, stories I want to do on the side. But, you know,
sure.
I'm going to start winding it down for a bit and then, like, you know, figure out the career after comics. Because I think that's a lot of guys don't realize there is a career after this sometimes, you know.
Yeah, there kind of has to be, I think.
Because sometimes the well's going to dry up, dude. Like, the Spider-Gwen, it's not going to last forever.
Sure. Sure. I guess that kind of plays into what you mentioned earlier about that survey going around about the reality of money in this. We can come back to that, what do you think you'll do after comics?
See, I don't know. I figured out. You mean, I was thinking about before. I know I'd like to do some type of talent development,
comics,
like even comics or in some type of like arts in general, storytelling. I mean, one of my favorite things, even especially at cons, because here's the thing, like people don't know. I like you. You're a good guy, but you just have to be a creator. You know, Jason, everyone else, all our buddies that we all know.
Sure.
Most creators, I have no connection with them in general. Like, just random guys I meet.
Yeah.
Because they just want to talk about industry and just bitch and moan about this and that. And like,
yeah, there is that.
And like, dude, I have no time for this. And like, the most fun I have is like when you had, you know, your SCAD kids.
Uh-huh.
Me sitting up in this very con.
Yeah.
In this hotel, like sitting out about smoking cigarettes and like, you know, the guys, they want to do this and this and this and trying to like help them develop their skills this way. And like, sure. I got the most enjoyment doing that.
They're going to swarm you this weekend. Yeah. I'm sure of it. Not that I'm their mind anymore, but yeah, I have a feeling they'll swarm me this weekend.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, and I enjoy like, you know, there's some, you know, like, helping you tell, like when I was in LA, like Jeff Stokely was doing stuff for like Boom right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just constantly, hey, you should try this, this, and this, and this. But you know, he never asked for it. But it's kind of just me to like being an asshole, like, hey, this sucks. But I see there's talent here. You should try this. And he was pretty receptive. He was receptive to it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So you know, and other guys.
So you kind of want to teach? You think?
I don't think I teach because like but you know, at least like mentor or something.
Mentor. Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't mind just, you know, doing like a. Being the Chiarello of some comic company.
Like an art director. Yeah. Develop new talent and stuff. That's interesting.
And especially, too, just like to, you know, pass on what little knowledge, you know, what knowledge like I have of doing the business in general.
Mm-hmm.
And like to pass that on to other guys, too. Other guys and girls. I mean, there's some people who are younger talent coming up that like don't realize like you got to learn everything in this business.
Yeah.
It's not just sweating on the page, which is already a lot of fucking work as it is.
Yeah.
You got to learn, you know, production. You got to learn design. You know, coloring, which goes in production. But, you know, and also marketing.
Yeah.
Talking, because that's one thing I learned with Frankie, is like talking to retailers, talking to industry, trying to like set up interviews and whatnot.
Right.
Selling yourself as a personality gets you out there and whatnot. So
right.
People like you will support your work in general.
Right. You're very into, just from knowing you, you're very into helping the younger generation of cartoonists. And also,
well, I think that's part of me too. I think, sorry to interrupt you on that.
No. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's part of me too. Like, it's still that punk rock kid in me. It's like I want to teach kids like the DIY aspect to it, because I see it slowly changing again. That's one thing I always want to do with the industry. Like I got sick of when I was broken in around. I got sick of my industry because like around 2004, because like it was still, you know, it was still a good old boys club,
right,
in gentleman comics,
right.
But like, and you know, then I'm thinking like, oh, you need us to make shit. When these kids know, oh yeah, you don't. You just make your own comics. You just go to Kinko's and make your own goddamn books right now and sell them right now.
Right. But,
and you have to realize that, and that's when I changed mentality. It's like, you know, they need you more than you need them. Like,
true.
They need talent more than like in general. And also like, and if things don't work out, go on your own.
Right.
It's not that much harder. It's like,
it's true.
All you gotta do is sink in like $3,000 and like on a book, and then boom, you can just make decent living out there. I did that with Frankie. I sunk like $4,000 just printing. And like, on profit wise, I think I made at least about 30-40K just doing self-publishing stuff and just hand selling it at cons in general with it.
Wow. You made that much money on Frankie?
Yeah.
Wow.
And also the vinyl too. I did that.
Oh, right.
You know, it got me opportunities too. Like I directed a video for the Sea Monsters because like, fuck, I want to be a director.
When did you do that?
I want to see about 2 years ago when we did the Frankie album.
And what was that like, directing a video?
It was interesting because it was literally like a one-man show.
Yeah.
Taught myself how to do blocking.
So did you, was it just like live footage of the band? Did you create a narrative for it?
No, literally. It was like a live performance of the band, but our director held the entire like room like up and down. Went to use Rasturbator and went to, and like printed like big versions of like panels of the book and like stuck them on cardboard and like made them pop out a bit, so it actually looks like panels are popping out of the room type thing.
Oh, cool.
But it kind of masked it so you don't see like the edges of the paper, so masked it with lighting so it just like drops down. Uh-huh. So there's no shadows of the paper, so it looks like a one big high production sheet on there.
Okay.
You know, we did that. Made a rigging full of like PVC piping and like lighting we found at Hope Depot, and just made like a bunch of like lighting rigs that we moved around. Uh-huh. Here and there, and which made the room super fucking hot. It was like dead of February. It was like, I think it was in the 20s, but it was like sweltering. We had to like empty out that room every take.
How long did the shoot take?
I think we did about a week.
Oh, a week?
But wow. It was like, but I was doing it based on the band schedule because they're doing,
okay,
you know, they're doing, you know, their full time jobs.
Uh huh.
So every once in a while, like, you know, I told them like, all right, pick out your clothes, put them aside. Just, when I tell you go dress up, just put these clothes back on. They're gonna smell like shit. Cheers for Breeze. but constantly wear these. So like, one guy like Cat will come in from work, you know, and the lead singer, and like, I'll shoot her coverage the entire day, like,
okay,
and shoot it from different angles and whatnot. Same thing will happen with the band. I'll just shoot their coverage in general, and then like, the weekends when they have off, I would do the entire like full band shoot. And we did that for at least about full band shoot for about 2 days, just so I can like cover my ass in general. But it was like, it was weirdly, you know, learning like camera setups, mm-hmm, lighting setups, mm-hmm, lighting effects in general. Like it was like, I taught myself film school like in the span of a week. Wow. And also how to direct like the band, who like, they're very like shy guys in general. They're not the, uh-huh, even though they're in a band, he was like, keep telling me, like, come weird on, you gotta be fucking like a rock and roller.
Right,
in general.
You're in a band.
They're very like, it took them a bit to like coax them out of their shell. Like eventually I got them on like third day. They're like, all right, we get it. It's like,
are they shy on stage or just in front of the camera?
In front of the camera.
Okay.
Yeah. But it kind of coaxed them like third day. It's like, dude, it's okay to be a fucking cartoon. Just be ridiculous as you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to ask you about, you're very into making sure that the comics you're doing are for the little ones. Kid-friendly. Well, not for them, but kid-friendly.
Well, you know, I don't make an effort for that. I mean, because Frankie Diff is not kid-friendly.
Okay, true.
Because a kid gets...
Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, Spider... You know, because Frankie, like, issue two, a kid gets blasted in the chest with a shotgun.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
Where, like, yeah, Spider-Gwen is, like... I don't make an effort to be all ages, but like, I mean, if you're talking about the Frank Joe shit, I make a constant effort. Like,
no. I mean, I see you always online. Like, when you see little, like kids the reading the book,
yeah. But it's one like, I kind of conscientiously make it like, you know, 80s PG-13.
Uh huh.
On this book, you know, it's like,
why?
Huh?
Like,
oh no, because like, I'm not gonna like play kids. Like, oh, it's a kid thing. Just go and do that. Like, you know what? If I could get away with it, I'll be like, I'll let Spider-Gwen say fuck every once in a while type thing.
Uh-huh.
I just can't get away with it, but I can get the suggestion she's saying fuck.
Right.
So we do that every once in a while with like.
But I guess what I'm getting is you seem to have an interest in
I mean, it's with the kids coming in with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I didn't really think about it before, but like, and still I don't, because it's going to ruin the magic that we have right now with Spider-Gwen. But the best thing that came out of this book is the fact that we've got so many, I can't even fathom it how many we got, like, you know, fathers with their daughters, and like, they never read a comic book, they pick up Spider-Gwen, and like, it's their favorite thing, it's like their gateway drug into the book, into the medium.
Right.
Or like, you know, wives picking up the book for the same first time, they just see the colors and see the artwork and whatnot, it's like, and they're really intrigued by the book in general with it. It's a gateway drug, I mean. Spider-Gwen's a rare thing to happen. Like, just talking to the fan base, the fact that it is that, you know, there were that other, like, female-based book, you know, you have Ms. Marvel, mm-hmm, you have, like, you know, you had Batgirl coming in,
right,
whatnot. But I don't know, I guess, like, the fact that, I'm not saying they are and whatnot, they're placating to it or not, I'm just this and that, but the fact that me and Jason and Rico, we're not conscientious about it, we're just doing our book, and the fact it's brought in such a new audience is amazing. Right. And so it makes us really like keep that going, like really, like I really want to support that more.
Are you worried about the tail wagging the dog, like the fan base becoming so particular that they start to try to steer the book? Like,
there's aspect, you see that online quite a bit.
Yeah.
But the but the fact is, we're not going to let it do it. I mean, we have a story we want to tell. And Jason has a story we want to tell. I got my aspects of the story I want to tell with his characters. Like, we can't placate to this fan base that wants a certain direction that they want with a book. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty much, they're going to have to, like, they like what we've done so far. and with the ride. So hopefully they keep continuing to go with the ride in the book.
Right, you can't please them.
Oh, no, there's no point in actually trying with it.
Right, right.
So, and the best thing is, like, why write the book right now?
Right.
Like, I mean, to go back to initial, like, type thing, you know, like, much like in grunge, there's, like, so many, like, you know, pre-bands, you know, you had, like, a Mother Love Bone and whatnot, and Soundgarden right. coming on, but, you know.
Sure.
You know, if Spider-Gwen is that Nirvana to, like, to break that both, like, that pop hit to get other people into these other bands, then, like, that's great. Type thing.
Sure.
I mean, we would love being that book.
Yeah, right.
And even them, like, I don't think if Nirvana's still around, I don't think they're going to play Kid, like, oh, you guys need to be more poppy now or
right.
play Kid to this sound.
Right, right,
yeah.
right. No, I mean, I guess my question is, are you worried that it just seems like the internet mass gets so particular, they bring something up and then they tear it down?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're going to get that from the old, like, this quasi older generation of internet people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that helps us is we have, like we said before, we have a whole new generation of readers on this book that
sure.
love what we're doing,
yeah,
who are not online at all.
Right. But, like, even with Batgirl, they like, the internet went nuts on it when they had the bad guy was dressed up as a girl. And it was, they just went completely nuts on it for a short period of time when that was the audience that was all behind it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't say because I never read the book and dealing with it, so there's no way I can, like, justifiably, like, say, yeah, you know, if they're right or not.
No. I'm not asking if they're right or not. I'm just wondering if that's a concern of yours.
No. Yeah, here's the thing with Spider-Gwen. Like, we're all going to keep doing what we're doing with this book. I mean, what's going to keep me on this book is the fact keeping this feel of this book in general
mm-hmm.
and, like, keeping the attitude of it. I mean, my biggest fear is, like, other people from marketing see Spider-Gwen, but they're not selling they're selling the character of Spider-Gwen, but what's really, like, selling this book is the attitude
mm-hmm.
and the substance of Spider-Gwen. That's what they need to be selling.
Sure, so
sure. I have a bigger fear of that than actually do with the internet audience.
Okay.
Coming in on it.
Are you looking forward at all to some normalcy coming back? Like this leveling off at all and getting back into more normal life? Or are you enjoying success?
You know what? I'm just going to let it, I kind of just let it, like, I'm just going to let it wash over me. See how it goes in general. I mean, it's weird, especially, like, I was drinking with a buddy of mine, Catherine, and I was joking. I was joking, randomly, like, I was at some bar, and then, like, some guy wanted to take a picture of me, and she's like, that's bullshit, what's going on? And then 5 minutes later, it happened, and right in front of her. You know, so, like, that's, you know, I would, like, that sort of thing, you know, I would like to level off for a bit. Like, I don't mind, like, some guy seeing my bars, hey, can I get, like, a little sketch, or can I do,
sure.
sign my book, type thing? That's fine, you know. But, like, I would like that level off, but, you know, being the shows and whatnot, you know, these guys support the book, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let them control this aspect with it. Like, if they want to say hi to me, take a picture of me at a show, that's fine. They're paying my bills.
Sure, of course.
So so as long as they want it, I'll let it go. Like, if it levels off, that's great. Then I can just have a beer alone type thing again.
Right,
it's awesome.
Right.
Place. So pretty much I'm like, I'm just going to, like everything else, I'm just going to play by ear.
Okay. Being that you're interested in helping the next generation of cartoonists and you... We started to talk about this a little bit before. What do you think about what's going on around with that survey right now?
You know, I only read, like, a little bit. I just know... I'm not sure about this. I heard a little bit of survey from Jason earlier today. I haven't read the full article about it.
Uh-huh.
I read a little...
Did you look at the pie charts?
I read the pie chart. Jason had the best comment, which he probably stole in my mouth. Like, that's like the... That's like the creationist on Noah's Ark trying to explain the best science behind it.
That's like what?
That's like the best chart of, like, creationists explaining their bullshit in general with that little chart in front of Noah's Ark, essentially. Because, you know, I don't know who they asked. Is like, the thing is, like,
yeah.
that thing is, that survey is such full of holes in general. Like, they could ask, like, kids who are just breaking in industry. Like,
well, they did say on the survey this many... Marvel artists, this many DC, this many... Like, they did have that breakdown. And true, we don't have names.
It's not names, but like, but I don't know names, names, but
do
like.
Do you doubt the truth in it?
You know, I doubt some exaggeration in it because cartoonists do exaggerate quite a bit.
Okay, so.
See, like, you know, like, even though, like, especially like, you know, talking to cartoonists or like other creators in the, around the industry, like, they exaggerate. Like, you're never going to get the even if it's anonymous.
But you think they're exaggerating the reality of the finances of this business?
Well, that's so much. I mean, when I see, like, there's a number of, like, when they went to the indie side, of, like, for a cover price, it ranged between, like, 200 or 500. I was like, that's bullshit right there. There's no way an indie company's going to pay $500 for a cover.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. I saw a chart with that, too.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I looked at the numbers. They seem pretty realistic.
Oh, no. I saw, like, another chart with two. Had, like, different numbers who are making this between this and this on the indie side. And, like, there's no way they're making that.
No, I didn't. The one I saw, the figures are pretty dead on, like, financially. Like, if, like, Marvel DC does pay about that and so on down, seem pretty realistic.
I was like, but, like, I'm... Like,
so
I'm,
you just think the survey's nonsense?
It's just, I mean... I appreciate it, but like, if you want to do a survey, there's you have to get like an outside consultant and to know what they, and actually like.
No, I understand that, but what do you think about what the survey saying?
Oh, it's just survey saying like, you know, like it is hard. People also should know. Everyone knew for the longest time. It's like you're not going to make any money in this industry.
I wouldn't say. I mean, I don't know that I knew that when I wanted to get in.
Really?
Well, when I wanted to get in, comics were exploding. I mean, people were making a killing.
Oh, yeah. But, like, that was, like, the 90s. That was, like...
Yeah.
That was, like, during, like... That was, but, you know...
I know.
People were making a killing, like, fucking the 80s during the crack boom or cocaine boom in, like, Florida.
Right. But I was a kid in the 90s wanting to do this. So
yeah.
That's what I knew.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I guess the biggest thing to take on that survey is, which we were talking earlier today, like... You got to know what you want out of this industry in general. And looking at the numbers, yeah. It's got cold hard facts, like whether like they're true or not or being exaggerated, you know, they're pretty low. You're not going to make much of a living doing that. But you got to know why you're killing yourself every morning because are you trying to make money? Then, you know, or do you really like the craft? And also you can make a bit of change doing it.
Right. So you're doing it because you really like the craft.
Oh, yeah. I do the craft. Yeah.
Right. And that's why I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But... In order for me to be able to do this, I need to make a certain amount of money because not just me.
Yeah, you have a family to think
right.
about.
So, I mean, it's easy to say you got to know what you want. I know what I want out of it. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, and I'm not doing poorly. I mean, according to that chart, I'm doing very well in the scheme of things.
Yeah, but, you know, but there are other people in industry who are like... They're not in a similar situation as you are with the family, but not
sure.
But they're not financially responsible enough to like to quit it because they're like, all right, I can do. Because even in like when I was working indies, when I was doing only stuff in general,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was still, you know, I was making like probably like we'll say like 120 per page,
right?
Whatnot.
And you weren't happy about that.
But you know, I still made it up. Doing a dead end job, yeah, I wasn't happy with it too. But like, I figured that time I was like, all right, I'm gonna get time to do. It's gonna be enough clout for me to do my own thing
mm-hmm.
down the line. It's kind of like, all right, I'm gonna pay dues. I'll pay dues this way.
Sure. We all pay dues.
Yeah, but then I know the best thing about that survey is like it's finally exposed like publishers like Boom and whatnot how shitty they pay.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting. I mean,
yeah.
does the industry expose? Does the survey say, hey, people need to be paid better?
Probably. I think in the indie.
I mean, it's the entertainment industry. So, yeah. You know, it's a crapshoot. I understand that. And I'm not saying everyone should be paying more. I don't know. I don't have answers. I just think it's something worth discussing and not just dismissing.
It's not dismissing at all. I mean, it should be discussed. I mean, I think... It's beneficial for guys actually to talk about page rates and whatnot. I mean,
sure.
it's good for guys to like
right.
know the value.
And people don't do that.
Yeah,
which I think is.
Yeah, it's very like, yeah, people don't do that because they're very fearful of like being blackballed or doing or
right.
you know.
I mean,
being on someone's shit list for a
I
publisher.
Remember how hard you worked when you were doing Oni Books and how little you made and how frustrating that was for you, and I'm glad to see you doing so well right now.
Yeah.
But you, what you're going through now is extremely rare.
Oh, no, it's true. Like, we got very lucky with this book.
Sure.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I was talking to my ex-wife. She's like, no, when I left FPP, she's like, so what are you going to do now? I was like, it's like, I don't know. I'll just literally, I say, I'll go work retail, and it's like, and go work on Frankie for a bit and start that over again.
Sure. I mean, that's an option. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you, who knows?
You know, there's some people who like,
if Spider-Gwen rides for a while, you might have a nice nest egg after it's done. Yeah. You can just go do whatever you want.
I might. Yeah. After that, who knows? But like, I knew what I want to do beforehand, you know?
Right.
And I knew like,
but I guess
I'm not going to stick it out, you know, with the family and doing 5 books, killing myself for like $125 a page rate type thing. If I'm going to put that much into it, like I'd rather like go work at Target, get benefits if I can, and then do my shit on the side type thing and actually do stuff I want.
Sure. And I've tried, that's easy to say. It's hard to do. I mean, if you're working a full-time job and have benefits and a family, there's very little time left to do other
but that's
stuff.
Also my perspective with it too.
Sure. I guess the question I was trying to get at, was if you're interested in helping the next generation, and I'm just curious how this.
I think that's part of it. Actually, like it's actually, so to get front to it, yeah, it's great that it helps the generation to know, like, that's where you get into, like, now there's information out there, like, what are you going to do about it too? Like, do you,
right,
everyone pressure, like, you know, boom, to actually, like, instead of, you know, paying for a fucking barbecue that right. for half LA didn't actually take that money to pay their creators or whatnot, you know? Yeah, you should call them out on that too. I mean, it's beneficial with that if you know what they're, you know, they Wait, actually
they
do with their money.
They do that?
Huh?
Is that, what's the name of that thing?
That Mel's Barbecue?
Yeah, that's Boom?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I've seen pictures. I was like, what the hell is Mel's Barbecue? I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, that's what I was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, well, you know, and still like,
there's
still
a
like,
lot going on.
You know, still Brian Trail is making $125 for drawing, you know, a Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. All right,
like who knows what that barbecue could have paid for creators?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, you go to San Diego, some of these parties, you're like, maybe put the money back.
Yeah, there's sometimes
town.
Sometimes Oni is like, huh.
But I mean, that's one of the things I think the survey does.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like me doing this thing like beforehand, and like, you know, I talk to interviews too. Like, it's good to like, it's great to reveal the curtain for this industry in general. It's good to know the inside baseball of this industry in general.
Sure.
People like, there are a lot of people who don't like it because it ruins their business. But it's all, you know, we're still all talking about it, and like at bars or like. Or during dinner or whatnot, so why not talk about it on Front Street where everyone can see what's going on?
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some music. You've mentioned punk rock a few times, but growing up, I assume more than metal or hip hop, punk rock was a part of you.
Yeah, let's say that like tell you like a. Punk rock and hip hop were like the two biggest things because you know they're kind of like kissing cousins in general.
Sure,
like attitude,
absolutely.
General, yeah.
Are.
You know, and you know, old bluegrass country because I grew up in Texas.
Okay,
and like, you know, I'm stickler for like old man country, like and a lot of it because I learned that from my one thing. The one family member I did keep track of, like, to actually like was my father's mother. Uh-huh. She passed away like early on when I was young, but like. She really got me into like Patsy Cline, you know, Hank Williams Jr. and whatnot. It's like very much like older country and whatnot. And I love that shit in general. And I still play it to this day.
That's you've been listening to that most of your life?
Oh yeah, for the most part. Yeah, that and like you know, especially but in Texas, you know, it's a very metal town. They love their fucking metal.
Yeah, totally. Like,
you know, I don't mind metal. I mean, there's aspects I like about, like, fuck, you play Pantera's Walk. Like, yeah, right. I grew down to that. Like,
well,
that's a fucking jam right there.
Yeah, that's a unique song.
But yeah, it's mostly, like, really into punk. I mean, God, I remember, like, you know, 12 years old, 11 or 12, listened to fucking Bad Brains the first time. Like, what is this?
So,
you know, like, you know, listen to that, you know, listen to like the DC, like a lot of us like DC hardcore scene I really got into.
That's what I grew up on because I grew up around DC. Mm-hmm. So, like, what from the DC scene were you into?
You know, I was into that, you know, Teen Idols was a really big thing. You know, then when like, which Minor Threat got formed, I really liked that. You know, then I got to like the, moved on to like the SoCal scene, you know, with Social D came on and, and the Descendants and like, you know, the Vandals and whatnot. They, you know, that skater punk scene really got into me too. The, you know, a little bit fun aspect to it too.
Circle
you know,
Jerks.
Circle Jerks and whatnot. And like, you know, and Black Flag and whatnot. You know, but even like Texas, we had like, Austin, we had Big Boys there. They're really big, big band there too in Austin. So there was like, that was kind of like the, hearing Big Boys in Texas, that kind of was the gateway into like, going to the DC scene and going to the SoCal scene.
Did you get into the New York hardcore at all?
Yeah, you know, I kind of delved into it pretty much, you know, but like as far as the New York scene, like I was really into more the glam scene.
Okay.
In general. I still, I love glam metal too. Oh God, I fucking love glam metal. Fucking T-Rex and fucking like New York Dolls and shit like
that's
that.
That's because you're from Texas.
Yeah.
What, is there, do you have a, an album you, that's still in heavy rotation since you first got into listening to the punk rock stuff? Is there one you still roll with?
What's the one with, it's still Band in DC.
Oh, Band in DC.
Yeah.
Okay. So was Bad Brains your favorite?
Oh yeah, Bad Brains still like still on for just that, that kinetic energy with it.
And I that's your favorite Bad Brains album?
Mm-hmm.
Oh okay.
But yeah, that's kind of what kind of
grew that me. Was a live album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why, because it captured that energy of that.
Yeah,
that
they
shield,
were
yeah.
they were pretty frenetic.
You know, but that got me into like the Northwest like girl riot scene. You know, with like I said before, like Bikini Kill and like, you know, Huggy Bear and whatnot, and all those girls, like it was saying that we were like feminine energy, but with that feminist touch to it, which I really, I don't know why, I just kind of like gravitated towards.
So, did you grow up listening to the Runaways at all?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I love Joan Jett. That's, yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
You know, everyone knows about my friends, know about my love for like Blondie too in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what Gwen's based on in Model Sheet. She's based on Deborah Harry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see that. That's interesting. All right, Robbie, we can round it out here. Is there anything we didn't touch on you wanted to touch on?
No, not really. It's just kind of just discuss in general. Just
is there? Yeah, I mean, do you promote anything? I mean, Spider Gwen's obvious,
dude,
but
just,
any
I don't
websites?
Think, I don't think Spider Gwen's any more fucking promotion.
No, but your Instagram or any or Twitter
oh yeah, you,
or anything?
Yeah, you can follow me. You know, it's just Robbie Rodriguez on all my Instagram accounts.
Twitter, Instagram.
Twitter, same thing. Facebook.
Okay.
Adult Friend Finder. Farmers Only.
All right. All right. Thanks for doing this, Robbie.
No problem, dude. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye.
Sweaty brazing your faculty. Face getting gray from the ash, but I'm laughing, that's for tracing me, nigga. Fuck out my face while I'm thinking. Ain't step foot up in my mama place for a minute. My day's numbered. Focus heavy on making the most of them. Feel like I'm the only one pressing to grow upwards. Still fuck you and whoever you show up with. You trying to see an image, some steady your hands. Who you calling your mans? Bet you thought he was solid. Really just sand washing away with the water. I'm a land mammal staying away from the altar. Shit changing to August. In the wake of that August, last autumn the leaves fell and I raked in a profit. Disobeying the doctor. The good guy prescribed fate never caught him. Chasing these rabbits, whole face in a faucet. Yeah. And I don't know why else to call home lately. I hold my phone break, let it ring. Toe to toe with the foes, new and old. Basic hoes trying to cage them like the pole. When I run, don't chase me. And I don't know why else to call home lately. I hold my phone break, let it ring. Toe to toe with the foes, new and old. Basic hoes trying to cage them like the pole. When I run, don't chase me. Solid so the funds don't faze me. On tour, wildin' by the truck stop races. Hardest finding me a
common thread between us. Raised different, my mama, she born bred to lead. To get shit popping like the guns off safety. Saying easy and doing harder when you get caught up. Raised neck and neck with Knox, so I'm a fluent brawler. Rain checking on your plot if ever bread should pop up. Out the toaster, I gotta focus. My family problems shrunk and widened with the bumps in my personal finest. It hurt cause I can't keep a day to put personal time in. A reverse of the time when my face didn't surprise you. Before I did the shit that earned me my term on that island. Can't put a smile on your face through your purse or your pocket. Shit in a pile, never change. I'm stupid for trying still. Just too busy wild. I don't know who else to call home lately. I hope my phone break, let it ring. Toe to toe with the foes, new and old. Basic hoes trying to cage them like the pole. When I run, don't chase me. And I don't know who else to call home lately. I hope my phone break, let it ring. Toe to toe with the foes, new and old. Basic hoes trying to cage them like the pole. When I run, don't chase me.